Okay, so you know that feeling when you finally get home at like 7 p.m. and you're just like completely wiped,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, just like, where did the day go?
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to tackle today. Work-life balance, but with a 2025 Think and Act Locally twist. So we're going to go beyond just, you know, your personal bubble and think about how this impacts our communities too.
I like that angle.
Yeah.
And to kind of guide us through this, we've got Work-Life Balance for Dummies. And now, before anyone judges a book by its cover,
Right.
this book actually gets surprisingly deep.
It really goes. They jump right in and just kick that whole having it all myth to the curb. You know, that superhero
Yes,
trap,
yes.
trying to kill it at work, be the perfect parent, and have a six pack all at the same time.
And the book really emphasizes this point that, you know, that's not just like tiring, it's actually setting us up for failure.
Yeah.
Like, the research is showing that when we try to be superhuman in every area, it leads to burnout, stress, and ultimately we just end up feeling less successful across the board. So true. So instead of aiming for this impossible ideal, they suggest shifting focus to what they call your personal best. So it's about, you know, recognizing those achievements, no matter how big or small, and accepting that good enough really is good enough.
I love that because it really resonates with the idea of letting go of comparison. You
Total.
know, this perfectly curated social media feeds the coworker who just seems to breeze through everything.
Oof, yes.
Instead, you're focusing on your own progress and what you define as success.
Yeah, it's about tuning out all that noise and focusing on what matters to you. Okay, so then the book tackles this big one, the time crunch, specifically reclaiming your time. And they highlight a huge issue, especially in the UK, which is the prevalence of unpaid overtime.
Right.
It's like, when do you get to live if you're always working?
That's such a good point and really ties into that think and act locally idea.
Okay, how so?
Well, when you're always doing unpaid overtime, it creates this culture where work just bleeds into everything.
So it makes it so much harder to disconnect and be present in your local community.
That's true. It's like you're at a local event, but you're not really there, you know?
Exactly. You're kind of half checked out, still thinking about work.
Ugh, the worst. Okay, then there's the procrastination monster, which, let's be real, we've all battled with.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, putting stuff off doesn't make it go away. It just makes us more stressed and less efficient.
So true. And the book actually has some really great strategies for dealing with procrastination. One that I really liked is the 10-minute rule.
Okay, I like rules. What is it?
Basically, if you can do a task in 10 minutes or less, just do it now.
Oh, that's good.
Like, don't even think about it, just knock it out.
I can get behind that. Think about all those little things. A quick email, tidying up your desk, making that phone call you've been avoiding.
Yes, exactly.
They seem small, but they add up. And if we free up that mental space, we can be more present for the things that really matter.
I completely agree. Like, connecting with our families and communities.
Okay, so we've got some strategies for like reclaiming our time, but what about making the most of the time we do have? And the book talks about small changes with big impact. And one that stood out to me was workspace organization, which might sound basic, but.
It is, but there's actually a lot of psychology behind it. You know that saying, a cluttered desk equals a cluttered mind?
Oh, yes, it's so true.
It's true. When we're surrounded by visual chaos, it competes for our attention. It makes it harder to focus, and it just increases our stress levels.
So it's not just about aesthetics.
No.
It's about creating an environment that actually supports productivity and mental clarity.
Exactly. It's like think and act locally, but for your desk.
I love that. And even if you're not a naturally organized person, what are some things people can do?
Well, a good starting point is just clearing your desk at the end of each day,
Okay.
and then like really utilize trays, folders, drawer organizers, all that good stuff.
Make it a system.
Yes. And don't be afraid to add in some things that spark joy, like a nice plant, a favorite photo, just something to make your workspace feel less sterile.
I like that. A little personality. And then there's the lunch break, which we often treat as just a quick refueling stop.
Like inhale your food and get back to work.
Exactly. But the book wants us to rethink that completely.
Yeah, they actually suggest viewing your lunch break as an opportunity, not just a break.
Interesting.
Like, use it to go for a walk, connect with colleagues, run errands, maybe even explore a new hobby.
That's cool. And I love how it ties into that think and act locally mindset. Could you use that time to connect with someone in your community, volunteer at a local organization, support a local business, instead of just mindlessly scrolling?
And even if you can't do something community focused every day, simply being present during your lunch break can have a ripple effect.
I like that.
So take a walk in nature, listen to some uplifting music, just sit quietly and enjoy your food.
Be present.
Yes. These little acts of self-care can really boost your mood and energy, and then you're more present and engaged when you are interacting with your community.
That makes sense. Okay, speaking of being present and engaged, the book dives into the importance of communication.
Yes.
Specifically, assertiveness training.
Ooh, good one.
It might seem a little out there, but...
Well, it's more relevant than you think.
Okay, tell me more.
Assertiveness is all about learning to express your needs and boundaries clearly and respectfully.
At work and in your personal life.
Exactly. It's about advocating for yourself without being aggressive.
So it sounds like a superpower, honestly.
It kind of is.
Because when you're able to communicate effectively, it reduces those misunderstandings.
Right.
It prevents resentment from building up.
Right.
And it allows us to build stronger relationships.
Absolutely. And those strong relationships are the foundation of a thriving community.
That's true.
Like, think about it. If you're constantly saying yes, when you really want to say no, you're going to end up feeling resentful and burnt out.
And that's not good for anyone.
Exactly. And that resentment can spill over into your interactions with others, making it harder to be a positive contributing member of your community.
So assertiveness isn't just about getting you what you want.
No.
It's about creating a more harmonious environment for everyone.
Exactly. It's like think and act locally, but on an interpersonal level.
Ooh, I like that. And another aspect of communication the book emphasizes is mentor relationships.
Yes.
Finding someone who can offer guidance and support can be so beneficial.
Especially when you're navigating career challenges and trying to figure out this whole work-life balance thing.
Right. It's like having a personal guide on your think and act locally journey.
I love that. They've been there. They've done that. And they can offer insights and perspectives you might not have even considered.
Yeah. And you can find mentors in all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah.
Within your workplace, through professional organizations.
In your local community. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So we've covered some key areas for reclaiming our time, maximizing our energy, and communicating effectively. But now let's shift gears and talk about family time. Because this is where things can get really real.
Oh, yeah. Buckle up.
Right. And the book starts with something I think a lot of us can relate to, the dinner time ritual.
Ah, the family dinner.
Which might seem mundane, but they highlight the importance of shared meals for connection and communication, especially in our fast-paced, screen-obsessed world.
It's so true.
It's about more than just food. It's about putting away the phones, turning off the TV, and truly connecting with the people you care about.
Creating space for conversation, laughter, shared experiences.
Exactly. And it's a fantastic way to instill those think and act locally values in your children.
Oh, how so?
Well, by making family meals a priority, you're teaching them about connection.
Right.
Slowing down, savoring the moment.
And appreciating the people around you.
Exactly. The book also gives tips for surviving family holidays.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. Because those can be stressful.
Oh, tell me about it. Mm-hmm. But the goal is to turn what can be a stressful time into a genuinely enjoyable experience.
I like that. And one of the key takeaways there was to focus on quality over quantity.
What do you mean?
So it's not about cramming in a million activities or spending a fortune on gifts. It's about creating those meaningful memories, spending quality time together, and maybe even starting some new traditions.
I love that. And this ties into the book's emphasis on engaging children in meaningful ways. So encouraging physical activities, supporting their hobbies, and limiting those material possessions that often lead to more stress than happiness.
It's about prioritizing experiences and connection over stuff. Mm-hmm. It's about being present with your kids, listening to their interests, and fostering their creativity.
And teaching them that true happiness comes from within.
Exactly. Not from material possessions.
And that's such a powerful message to instill in the next generation.
It really is, especially in today's world.
Okay, so now we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dive into the book's advice on thinking bigger, considering career changes and downshifting.
Sounds good.
But first, we want to remind you that if you're finding value in this deep dive, consider supporting us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
The link is in the show notes.
Your support helps us keep bringing you these insightful conversations.
We appreciate you.
All right, we'll be right back.
So, you know, we were talking about thinking bigger.
Right.
And the book really encourages us to explore possibilities beyond just that traditional career path.
Yeah.
So it could be a new job, maybe going back to school for additional education, or even like a major lifestyle change. It could be the key to finding a better balance.
They even mention sabbaticals.
Yes.
Like taking a break from work to really focus on personal growth and exploration.
It's like hitting the pause button and asking yourself those big questions.
What do I really want?
Exactly. What brings me joy? How can I align my work with my values?
And that self-reflection can have a huge impact, not just on your life,
right,
but on your community too.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're living in alignment with your values, you're just naturally more engaged, more energized, and more likely to contribute positively to the world around you.
So it's like a ripple effect.
Yes.
But let's talk about downshifting.
Okay.
It's not just dreaming about a simpler life.
Right.
It's taking steps to make it happen.
And the book gives some really practical tips on planning for a downshift, including things like finances and strategies for adjusting to a new, maybe less materialistic lifestyle.
It sounds daunting, but also kind of liberating.
It is. It's about questioning those societal expectations of constantly striving for more, more, more.
And instead prioritizing experiences over possessions, connection over consumption, and well-being over busyness.
Exactly. And it connects back to that think and act locally philosophy in a powerful way.
How so?
Well, downshifting often involves simplifying your life, reducing your environmental footprint, and becoming more involved in your local community.
So it's not just about personal fulfillment. Mm-hmm. It's about creating a more sustainable, equitable world for everyone.
And, you know, this local focus is where Work-Life Balance for Dummies really stands out.
Okay, tell me more.
It's not just about individual time management. It's about recognizing that the systems we're part of.
Like our workplaces.
Exactly. They play a huge role in our ability to actually achieve balance.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Like our workplaces could be designed to make balance easier, not harder.
Right. And the book actually highlights British Telecom as a real-world example of this.
Oh, BT.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Well, what's fascinating is that they saw offering flexible work options as a way to improve employee well-being and boost their bottom line.
Oh, interesting.
They found that allowing people to work from home or adjust their hours led to increased productivity and reduced costs.
As a win-win.
It is. It challenges the outdated us versus them mentality that some companies still seem to cling to.
Totally. So what are some tips if you're trying to get your boss on board with more flexibility?
Well, the book suggests that when you're asking for more flexibility, you frame it in a way that highlights the benefits to the company.
Ooh, smart.
Present a business case. Show them how it can lead to greater efficiency and employee satisfaction.
So instead of just saying, I need to leave early on Fridays.
All right.
You're saying, here's how working from home on Fridays could improve my focus and allow me to tackle those complex reports without interruption.
Exactly. You're speaking their language.
I like it. And what if they're still hesitant?
The book suggests proposing a trial period.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Let them see the benefits firsthand.
Proof is in the pudding. Okay, so let's say you've managed to carve out some time for yourself.
Right.
Whether it's through flexible work arrangements or just being more intentional with your schedule. What are some ways to use that time wisely?
Well, one of the biggest hurdles I think a lot of people face is guilt.
Oh, yeah.
When they do take time for themselves.
Like, shouldn't I be working or doing something productive?
Exactly. But the book really emphasizes that self-care is not selfish. It's essential.
I love that reframe. It's like the oxygen mask on an airplane.
Yes.
Have to put yours on first before you can help others.
Perfect analogy. And the book offers lots of practical tips for making the most of that time. One thing that stood out to me was incorporating laughter and humor into your day.
Oh, that's a good one.
As a way to reduce stress.
It's amazing how a good laugh can just shift your whole perspective.
And it's not just about feeling good. Laughter actually has physical benefits.
Really?
It can ease muscle tension, boost your immune system, and lower those stress hormones. It's like an internal workout.
I'm sold. And if laughter isn't quite cutting it, the book has a whole section on sleep hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
Basically how to get a good night's rest,
yeah,
which,
yeah.
Let's face it, could be a game changer for work-life balance.
Huge. It stresses the importance of establishing a regular sleep schedule, creating a relaxing bedtime routine, and avoiding those late-night caffeine and technology binges.
It's like think and act locally, but for your sleep routine.
I like that.
Speaking of routines, the book also encourages readers to establish a regular exercise routine.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be anything extreme.
Right.
Even a brisk walk during your lunch break, a yoga class at a local studio, or a bike ride with your kids.
All of those can have a positive impact on your physical and mental well-being.
Absolutely. Remember, it's all about those small local actions adding up to create a greater sense of balance.
And I love that you mentioned doing those activities within your community.
Yes.
It ties into the book's chapter on community involvement.
It does. It talks about the benefits of volunteering, both for personal growth and for making a difference in your community.
It's a great way to meet new people, learn new skills, and give back.
all while aligning perfectly with that think and act locally spirit.
It's about recognizing that our individual well-being is interconnected with the well-being of our communities.
Exactly. When we invest our time and energy in our local communities, we're not only helping others, but we're also strengthening our own sense of belonging and purpose.
It's a win-win. But what if you're feeling really stuck?
Okay.
Like you need a major change, not just a few tweaks to your routine.
Yeah.
The book addresses this too. It explores options like career changes, starting a home-based business, or even what they call downshifting.
Downshifting is all about simplifying your lifestyle and potentially working less.
Okay.
It's about questioning those societal expectations of constantly striving for more, more, more.
Taking a step back and asking yourself, what truly matters to me?
Exactly. What kind of life do I want to create?
And the book offers practical advice on planning for a downshift, including financial considerations and strategies for adjusting to a new pace of life.
It sounds like a lot of work up front, but potentially life-changing in the long run.
And it doesn't have to mean isolating yourself from your community.
No. In fact, downshifting can create more opportunities for local engagement.
How so?
It might involve supporting local businesses, growing your own food, participating in community events, or simply spending more time connecting with your neighbors.
So it's about creating a life that's more aligned with your values and allows you to be more present in your community.
And, you know, while downshifting might be a long-term goal for some, there are things we can do in the here and now to nurture our relationships.
Yeah.
Because even with the best intentions, our relationships can suffer if we're not careful about prioritizing them.
That's so true.
Yeah.
You can have a perfectly optimized work day, be hitting the gym regularly, but if you're neglecting your loved ones, what's the point?
Exactly. And that's where the book gets really practical, offering actionable advice for strengthening our relationships, starting with our romantic partners.
It even mentions the importance of date nights.
It does. It emphasizes the importance of setting aside dedicated time for your partner, even amidst a busy schedule. It's about making them feel loved and appreciated.
And it's not always about grand gestures.
Right.
Little things like having breakfast together, making time for a conversation at the end of the day, or planning a weekend getaway can make a huge difference in maintaining a strong connection.
And let's not forget about the kids.
Oh, yes, the little ones.
The book has a whole section on family time with a big focus on quality over quantity.
It's not about how much time you spend together.
Right.
It's about how you spend it.
Exactly. It highlights the importance of shared meals, engaging in activities together, and limiting screen time. It's about being fully present with your children, listening attentively, and expressing affection freely.
It's about creating those memories that will last a lifetime.
And it's about teaching kids about balance by example.
Oh, that's good.
If they see you constantly stressed and overworked, they're likely to internalize those same patterns.
That makes sense.
But if they see you prioritizing your own well-being, making time for things you enjoy and nurturing your relationships, they're more likely to develop healthy habits themselves.
It's all about that ripple effect.
And the book doesn't shy away from the challenges of parenting in a world that often feels very out of balance.
Right. Like what?
The pressure to overschedule kids with activities, the constant bombardment of consumerism, and the struggle to disconnect from technology.
A lot to navigate.
It is. But the guide encourages parents to push back against these pressures and focus on what truly matters for their children's development and happiness.
So what does that look like?
It's about creating a family culture that prioritizes connection, creativity, and a sense of wonder.
It's about raising kids who are resilient, resourceful, and capable of finding their own sense of balance in a world that often feels anything but.
And it's about recognizing that finding work-life balance isn't a destination, it's a journey.
I like that.
There will be ups and downs, challenges and triumphs.
Absolutely.
But by making conscious choices, setting boundaries, and prioritizing what truly matters, we can create a life that feels more fulfilling and less overwhelming.
And that journey doesn't have to be a solo one.
Right. There are resources available, people who understand your struggles and communities that are embracing the Think and Act Locally philosophy.
Speaking of resources, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, we want to remind you that if you're finding value in these conversations, please consider supporting us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
The link is in the show notes.
Your support helps us continue to create these insightful episodes and reach a wider audience. Okay, so we've talked about these big picture things like, you know, downshifting and really being present with our families.
All right.
But what about those like day-to-day actions?
Hmm.
Where does that think and act locally mindset fit into our regular routines?
Well, the book actually gets really specific about this, and they start with our workspaces.
Okay.
They encourage us to clutter our desks, create a more ergonomic setup, and establish clear boundaries between work time and personal time.
It's like creating a little think and act locally oasis right in the middle of your workday.
Exactly. And it extends to our use of technology, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
The book suggests setting limits on screen time, turning off notifications, and designating specific times for checking email and social media.
So it's not about becoming like anti-technology.
Right.
It's about being more intentional.
Exactly. Choosing how and when we engage instead of letting it run our lives.
Being in the driver's seat.
And that's really at the heart of the think and act locally philosophy, this idea of being intentional, making conscious choices.
I like that. Another key theme the book hits on is communication.
Yes.
And they emphasize the importance of being assertive.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Both at work and in our personal lives.
It's so important. Learning to say no gracefully, to express our needs clearly, and to set boundaries can be incredibly empowering.
It's true. It helps us avoid that feeling of resentment that can build up when we're constantly overextending ourselves.
Exactly. And it's interesting to think about how assertiveness can actually strengthen our communities.
Okay, how so?
Well, when we're clear about our own needs and limits,
right,
we're better able to show up authentically and contribute in ways that feel good to us.
That makes sense. And it ties back to that idea that taking care of ourselves is not selfish.
It's essential.
It's essential for our well-being and for the well-being of our communities.
Exactly. When we're feeling depleted and resentful, it's hard to be a positive force in the world.
Yeah, you're not bringing your best self to the table. The book also highlights the importance of building a support network.
Yes.
So finding mentors, connecting with like-minded people.
It can make such a difference, especially when we're trying to make big changes.
Having people we can turn to for advice, guidance, encouragement.
It's invaluable. It's like having a think and act locally cheering section.
I love that. And those connections can often be found right within our local communities.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Think about local meetups, workshops, volunteer organizations.
All great places to connect with people who share your values and can offer support on your journey.
And it's important to remember that finding work-life balance isn't just about individual effort.
Right.
It's about systemic change, too.
So true.
Like advocating for more family-friendly policies in the workplace.
Yes.
Supporting businesses that prioritize employee well-being and getting involved in local politics.
To push for legislation that protects our right to disconnect from work.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all part of a larger system.
And by working together, we can create a world where work-life balance is the norm, not the exception.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into work-life balance,
yeah,
what does this all mean for you, the listener?
Yeah.
What are some key takeaways you can apply to your own life right now?
Well, first and foremost, it's about recognizing that finding work-life balance is possible.
Okay.
But it takes conscious effort and a willingness to challenge the status quo.
It's about making choices that align with your values, setting boundaries, and prioritizing what truly matters.
And remembering that you're not alone on this journey.
That's important.
There are resources available, people who understand your struggles, and communities that are embracing the think and act locally philosophy.
Absolutely. It's about taking small steps each day, celebrating those successes and learning from your setbacks.
And finding what works for you.
Right.
Creating a life that feels more fulfilling and less overwhelming.
And it's about recognizing that work-life balance isn't just about you, it's about us.
It's about creating a world where we all have the time and energy to thrive both personally and professionally.
So as you head back into your week, we leave you with this question. What one thing will you do differently to bring more balance to your life?
Maybe it's decluttering your workspace, setting a technology curfew, or scheduling a date night with your partner.
Whatever it is, start small, be consistent, and celebrate your progress.
And if you found value in this deep dive, we encourage you to share your thoughts, tips, or struggles with us using the hashtag ThinkActLocalDive.
We love hearing from our listeners.
And if you want to support our show and help us continue to create these insightful conversations, you can visit our website, thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
The link is in the show notes.
We appreciate your support.
Thank you for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep thinking, keep acting, and keep it local.